Well, welcome, Alex. Thank you for joining the show.
Appreciate it. I was literally y'all's first fan because I'm Dylan's brother. So I was listening to the, I think you had me listen to the first podcast before you put it up.
We did. Oh, I didn't know that.
To like check, like, is this good? And I was like, yeah, this is good. I enjoyed it. So it's fun to be on here after so many weeks listening to your beloved show.
The number one fan.
And I do recognize, but before we get like have any allegations, me being on this podcast does bring me to Nepo baby status. I fully recognize that. Like,
you understand your privilege.
Yeah, you know, I recognize that. I stand up to the privilege that I have being on this show, but I do appreciate it.
To start off, Alex, you're not the biggest reader.
No.
But you do love this book. Why?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. So yeah, I only read like maybe 3 books a year, which I'm not very proud of. I do like books when I read them, but I am certainly the most illiterate of the guests on your fair show. But I think my enjoyment of The Silmarillion sort of goes beyond my enjoyment of other books. Like, I don't think I read this book in the sense of literature, you know, like you're reading like good literature, you want like, you know, good symbology, you want it to like, you know, reflect upon your life, upon the world, things like that. That's not how I come to this book. I come to this book as someone who really enjoys the world, who's always enjoyed Lord of the Rings for as long as I can remember, who enjoys fantasy as a genre, as an aesthetic. And I think there's a lot of history and embodiment of tropes that I think Silmarillion and Tolkien in general sort of created for that sort of genre that I think is interesting to go back to, like the genesis of all that.
Well, going off of that, what got you interested in Lord of the Rings and then the Silmarillion?
Oh, you.
I don't think it was me.
I remember coming back.
I don't think it was me.
Back.
It was Dad.
No, well, it was you and Dad. So I remember distinctly, I think maybe I was in 5th grade. I came back from like a day at like summer camp or whatever. And you had, I think it was Return of the King on. I think it was the Battle of Pelennor Fields. I remember this so specifically. And I was like, oh, I think I watched this, you know, I was like 10. I was like, oh, I've seen bits of this throughout. So we watched the movies and I've been a fan ever since. I have gotten very much into the world. I, for a time, had a relatively good mastery of the Elvish script. Not the language, but I could like write notes to myself in Elvish script. I was down bad. it's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing.
That proved useful in your everyday life?
No, I don't know. Part of the, I think one of the themes of me reading this book is that there are things that are this boring that I don't enjoy that are useful, right? Like learning history is useful. Learning actual languages that people speak is useful. But for some reason, my brain is not interested in these things, but my brain is interested in these fake languages and fake stories in ways I can't quite describe, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I do think something interesting about reading The Silmarillion now is because, like, growing up mostly watching the movies and reading The Hobbit, I would, like, ask my dad about, like, oh, who is Sauron? You know, who is Gandalf? Where does magic come from? And he'd, like, he had read The Silmarillion and, like, would, you know, tell me the answers that he remembered. So it was almost like I learned a lot of this stuff from like oral tradition in like a weird way. And then I like read the actual like primary source, I guess, which is like interesting to sort of like make that jump from like you hear these things from your dad or you like random YouTube videos, but then like to actually like read the thing that like Tolkien wrote is very cool.
And where did the Silmarillion come up in that journey?
Pretty late. I think this is the second time I've read it. I read it for the first time in undergrad, maybe 4 years ago now. I think it was right before COVID. So I guess more than that now, but maybe like 2019. I don't know why, but it's one of the few books that I couldn't put down at times. Like I remember like reading this, like I enjoy having read books in general. I don't enjoy reading books. This is one of the very, very few times in my life where I think like the story of like Beren and Lúthien, I couldn't put it down. I was like enthralled by it. I definitely, my history with Tolkien goes way back far, far more than my experience of Silmarillion.
Sure. I think it does for most people.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that you're not going to pick this up, you know, randomly on a bookshelf.
At the end of the road. So to contrast what you were just saying, fantasy is maybe the one genre that I just have like an instinctual revulsion towards. And I know that like it's beloved of many people, and especially like Tolkien's version of it. I'm sure there's a lot of good reasons for that, but it's always been something I struggled with. But like, even me, The Hobbit was an important book in my childhood. And I can remember my grandfather reading it to me and like watching the movies with my dad when I was a kid, the cartoon ones. And I can still sing the stupid songs about Frodo and the Nine Fingers. And so I think it's important that we have things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That we can bond over and like generations can pass down and whatever. And like clearly Lord of the Rings and all of the related ephemera, apocrypha, whatever.
Yeah.
Are that for people. But when I was reading this shit,
I mean,
I was struggling.